Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
So we have been talking about, I did a series in Orlando at the last GTS about how to find God's will. If you missed any of that, please get the teachings from that series. We have those available here and you can get them. It's so important that you find out what God's will is. This series I'm talking about is how to follow God's will. And I want to share something with you this morning that is really powerful. This is one of the things that God has used dramatically in my life. This has been a major deal, and it saved me making some critical mistakes, and I think it could help you. We're going to be talking about Moses, and I'm going to be showing you that just knowing God's will for your life is not enough. As important as that is, and I'm not trying to minimize that, you've got to know God's will. You need to have God reveal His will to you, and you need to have some direction and a goal in front of you that you are moving towards. If you're shooting at nothing, you're going to hit it every time, amen? And so you need to have direction for your life. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm saying finding out God's will for your life is just the first step. Then you've got to learn how to follow God's will and how to cooperate with Him. And Moses messed up big time in this area and caused himself a lot of grief and caused the entire Jewish nation a lot of grief and sorrow because he had a revelation of what God's will was, but he didn't have a clue about how to fulfill it. And so he did things his own way and caused a lot of problems. Let's turn over here to the book of Exodus and look at some of this. We're going to have to be reading from Exodus and also from Acts and from Hebrews because the scripture comments on itself. And you know, I'm amazed when they make these movies like the Ten Commandments, how totally off base they are in so much of the detail. And it's because if all you did was read the book of Exodus and think that this is the story of Moses, then there's a lot of details left out and you could come to conclusions and this is what people have done. But when you read Acts and also Hebrews, the Holy Spirit inspired people to write about Moses and they fill in a lot of details that you don't get just reading in the book of Exodus alone. But let's start over here in the book of Exodus and read some of this. In Exodus chapter 2 is when Moses was born and there had been an order by Pharaoh to kill all of the male children born to the Israelites because the Israelites were multiplying and growing and they were possibly going to take over the land of Egypt. So the Pharaoh was afraid and told all of the midwives to kill all of the male children. At this time, Moses was born. You know, here's just a little P.S., something for you to think about. Every notable time in history where a dominant world leader has come on the scene, such as Moses, such as Jesus, there was a move by the government to kill infants. It's like Satan could tell that something was coming and he tried to kill and to stop this. And today we have over 52 million babies that have been murdered in the United States alone. And that's not including New York and California aren't required to report all abortions. 52 million abortions without including New York and California, which are probably the highest abortion rate of any. Plus, one of the very first acts of Obama was to take all restrictions off of all abortions and fund. I forgot how many dollars he put into UNICEF and stuff, which the number one function of UNICEF, yes, they do have schools, and yes, they do this and stuff, but the number one function of UNICEF is to abort babies worldwide. That's the way they help people. And you know what? There is a huge movement to kill infants. And I believe that it's because we are at the end time and it is a critical time and Satan is trying to do things. And so that's negative on one respect, but on the other respect, God's got a way to circumvent it. He was able to preserve Moses through this time. And so his life was preserved and his parents kept him for 3 months and then put him in a basket and, you know, daubed it with pitch and put it in the river and just let it float. And it floated right to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter recognized that this had to be one of the Hebrew children. And so she took the child and raised it as her own. You know, this is neat. Satan's trying to kill whoever the potential leader is. Pharaoh is his instrument. And Pharaoh says, kill all of the male children. And God sends the next leader to Pharaoh and makes Pharaoh pay for his upbringing and training and everything. And I tell you what, God's got a way of getting it done. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And so anyway, this is the story. And Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses as her own. And it says in verse 10 that the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. But this is basically the summarization of the first 40 years of Moses' life. There's not a lot of detail right here. And from this, people have taken all kinds of things. And again, I've got to counter some stuff. I'm not against the show, The Ten Commandments. I own it on video. I watch it. I get good out of it. But there's a lot of junk in there, too. And one of those things is that they show Moses as just a good old boy who saw an Egyptian destroying a Hebrew. And just out of a sense of right and wrong, he defended him. And it just accidentally fell into this. And he didn't know he was a Jew. And it just all kind of happened. It wasn't on purpose. That's not what the scripture says. Look at these verses over in Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen speaking. Stephen was the very first martyr, Christian martyr. And right before they stoned him to death, he was recounting Jewish history to show that he wasn't against the Jewish faith. He was fulfilling all of the promises and the prophecies that were given to the Jews about the coming of the Messiah. And he was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And at his death, as they stoned him to death, Jesus, it says Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. But Stephen saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Jesus stood up in honor of the very first person to be martyred in his name. And so I believe that Stephen was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the things that he said add to, they do not contradict, but they fill in the blanks and give us a better understanding of what actually happened to Moses. And so in Acts chapter 7, as he recounts Jewish history, it says in verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Did you know Moses, in the fourth chapter of Exodus, when God appeared to him in the burning bush, God told him to go down and bring deliverance to the Jews. And Moses says, God, I can't talk. I'm not wise. I'm not learned. I can't speak. They won't listen to me. This is the Holy Spirit saying that he was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So you know what? When Moses says, God, I can't do this, he's just like you and me. That the truth is we could do it, but we get intimidated and overwhelmed and we start saying that we can't do these things. But with God's help, with his anointing, we could do all of this. He was mighty in words and deeds. And he was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. Did you know that the Egyptians could embalm people? Of course, all of us have seen these mummies that still have hair and skin on them thousands of years later. Did you know that mankind, with all of our wisdom today, can't do this? Did you know that they had cataract surgery in Egypt? That they could do brain tumors? They had things, they were so advanced for their time. There's still some things that they did that we can't do. Hadn't figured out how they did it. Nobody's figured out how they built the pyramids, except those of you that believe aliens helped them. But nobody's figured out how all of this stuff happened. And I tell you, they were, and it says he was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses was not anybody's fool. Moses had a lot of wisdom, and yet when God came to him, God, I'm nobody, I can't do this. Just like some of you. You could do it, but you just get intimidated and stuff. And so anyway, this is an important piece of information. In verse 23, it says, and when he was full 40 years old. Did you know that this is the only place in Scripture it tells us how old he was when this happened? And so if you just read Exodus over there and don't read here in Acts, you wouldn't get this piece of information. But he was 40 years old when he went out and killed that Egyptian. And so it says, when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. This says it came into his heart. This wasn't something that just accidentally happened. It wasn't providence, fate that made it happen. This was something God spoke in his heart. It's very similar to what I was talking last night. That you delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will start putting things in your heart. And Moses knew he was a Jew and it was in his heart to go out and visit his brethren. And the next few verses will make it very clear that he knew he was a Jew. He was not ignorant of his origin and stuff. And he saw the oppression of the Jews and he related to it. And God put it into his heart to go out and visit his brethren. And in verse 24 it says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. Verse 25 says, for... this is why he did it, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This five-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU13C titled Moses Missed God's Timing when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials. And it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.